Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week was long. I'm just going to be up front with you. Last week was exhausting for me personally. I guess I could actually start with it Saturday night, because as many of you know, Sarah works Saturday night, and so Saturday night I'm at home alone with the kids. And I love the boys, don't get me wrong, but any of you who've had children or have nieces and nephews or just who have seen kids in action, any of you who were here during the children's sermon, it can be tiring. So that was Saturday night, and then of course Sunday we had worship, and I really enjoyed that. I like being here with you guys. I think it even went really well. But soon after worship was done, we had our council retreat. So the church council, we met over at Edmunds Lutheran Church for about 4 hours. It was really good. It was very productive. I was very happy with it. I think they were too. It was a very meaningful experience. And after that, we went out for a little bit of dinner. And then I went to the airport so I could catch a red eye to Chicago. I finally landed around 4:30 local time, so I could hop on the shuttle from the airport to get to the hotel. The shuttle was late, because of course it was late. So I finally got to the hotel at about 5:45, which actually was great, because they started serving breakfast at 6, so I figured, why not? I'm already awake. Got some breakfast, and then I figured, well, I've still got an hour and a half before I need to be at my class for 13 hours. I'll go try and get some sleep. So I went to my room and I laid down for a little bit and caught maybe an hour or so of sleep, then got back up and then took the shuttle to go to the training, and so then did that until about 9 p.m. at night. I'm not exaggerating. Then talked to people that evening, and then the next day got up and did it all over again on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday was a short day. We were done at 2. I went straight from there to the shuttle to the airport. Straight from there to home. Finally got in at like 11, I think. Or no, went to bed at, I don't know, it's a long day. And yesterday was Tavin's birthday, so we had the birthday party, and it was Saturday, so Sarah worked in the evening, so last night I was with the kids again. And now I'm here. I just talked about that longer than I meant to. But I'm gonna tell you, it was worth it. It was really, really worth it. It was very productive. It was a really good opportunity. I learned a lot about myself. I learned some things that I think are going to be very useful here in the ministry that we are at work at. And I'll be up front with you, I made some really great connections for us. And I'm thankful for that too. And so we'll be talking about that stuff over the next couple of months. I'm not going to try and dump it all on you right now, because I'm still processing it myself. And I'm pretty sure if I tried to give it to you, it would just come out even less coherently than my children's message. Thank you for laughing at that. Small chuckles are the Lutheran way of, you know, ha, 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 ha! Anywho. But it was good. It was a very good experience. And it's even relevant to the message today. Who is the story about? Abram, right? Abram and, I always mess this up. Is it Sarai? S-A-R-A-I. I can spell it. Is it about Abraham and Sarah?
No.
Not really, is it? They don't have those names yet. This is about Abram and Sarai. The name change comes later. Later on, God will speak to them and will give them their new names. Abram will become Abraham. Sarai will become Sarah. The names by which we are probably more familiar with them. Kind of like in the New Testament, when Jesus decides that Simon will now be called Peter. And when Saul's name is changed to Paul. How old is Abram in this story? 75 years old. Did you hear that? 75. I just heard Chuck say they're just kids. 75 years old. You think every person in biblical times lived to be 75 years old? I'll be honest with you, I don't. I think as a kid, I used to just think that's how it worked, because you see all these long ages listed in the Old Testament. And I think as a kid, I just kind of took that as a given. Well, people just lived a lot longer back then. But stop and think about that logically for a moment. That doesn't make any sense. One, if it was that common that people would live long lives, why even bother mentioning it? And two, let's just think about it medically for a moment. We've seen lifespans expanding even in our own lifetime, right? Abram is not a spring chicken. He is 75 years old. He has lived a long and meaningful life already when God speaks to him in this story. This isn't God coming to little Samuel and saying, "Hey, I got something for you to do." This is God coming to someone who has lived a very well-lived life. And who, to be honest, thinks he's pretty much done what he's supposed to do. What happens later on, this isn't part of today's story, but do you remember when Abraham's wife Sarah gets pregnant? Or actually when she's told that she will get pregnant, that she's told she will have a child? Do you remember what she does? She laughs. Because again, as far as they're concerned, they've pretty much done what they were set out to do. These aren't a couple of kids in their 20s. This is a mature couple who have lived through a lot together, who've been through a lot together. And for whatever reason, they have not thus far been blessed with children, something they desperately want. But if you were to ask them before this moment, I'm pretty sure they would tell you, "I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'm good." They've worked hard and they've been loyal. They have loved God and God has loved them. But then comes this challenge today. And you notice I call it a challenge, not a call. God did call them, don't get me wrong. This is a call story. But it's also a challenge. Go. That's the key word. It happens so early on. It's buried under the rest of the story. Go. Go from your country and your kin. Go. Go from everything that you know. Go. Go and follow where I have told you. Go from what you have learned. Go from what you lean on. Go from what you depend on. Go from what is comfortable and safe and familiar. You are 75 years old, Abram. You have lived a long and useful life. And now go, because I am not done with you yet. In fact, we've barely started. Where does God want you to go? Where is God calling you out of your comfort zone? Because of this experience I had in Chicago last week, I am actually very tempted, and I'm not going to do this. But because of the nature of that training, I'm actually very tempted to walk up to a few of you, point my finger, and flat out ask, "Where is God calling you?" That was the way we interacted with our trainers. It was intense. But it's true. Where is God calling you? Because God is. You wouldn't be sitting in this room if God wasn't. It's what, 10:15 a.m. on a Sunday morning? We're in the Pacific Northwest, one of the least churched parts of the entire country. It's beautiful outside. And you're in here. You made a deliberate choice to be here. God called you here, and you answered that call. But I promise you, that's not the extent of that call. The call is not just to be here. Where is God calling you? Where is God saying, hey, that comfort zone that you have, that's really cute. That's adorable, really. That's adorable how you have that whole comfort zone thing going for you. Good, good job. So about the comfort zone. God tends to mess with those. You think Abram was excited to get this call? God, I'm 75 years old. What are you talking about? Go to Canaan? You got to be kidding me. They're the enemy. Last week, the story of Noah, we had the cursing of Canaan. Do you remember that? Last week, the story of Noah after the flood. Noah makes a vineyard, makes wine, gets drunk, passes out naked. His son Ham shows up, sees him, tells his brothers. They get embarrassed. They go in. They cover him. Noah gets upset. I still don't understand that part. But Noah gets upset, and he curses out Ham, and he curses Ham's son, Canaan. Here we have the Canaanites showing up again. This is not a place Noah wants to go. God, I'm 75 years old. For crying out loud, I've been following you a long time. You want me to do what? I got a bridge club here. You know, I know where everything is in the supermarket. I mean, they mess around with it sometimes, so I get confused, but eventually I figure out the new routine. I know the bus schedule. The neighbor next door, we check in on each other from time to time. I have the most efficient pattern figured out for mowing my front yard. And I do it every week. Saturday, 8:30 a.m. You want me to go to Canaan? Come on! You gotta be kidding me. And you're gonna what? Descendants? No disrespect, but God, come on. I'm 75 years old. I think we've crossed that bridge. And God says, go. Go from your country and go from your kin. Go from everything you know. Go from that which you think is where you should be. That which is stable, that which is safe, that which is familiar. Where is God calling each and every one of us? Big topic this week when I was in Chicago was talking about identifying our self-interest. Identifying that which makes us tick, in a sense. Identifying that which motivates us. That which prompts us to behave in certain ways, that which controls where we are trying to get. I'll give you a practical, simple myself example. It is in my self-interest that the ministry of Bethel Lutheran Church be strong. Like it or not, I care about you guys. You have to accept that. Actually, you don't have to accept that, but it's true. And I care about this place. And I care about ministry happening in this part of Shoreline. Ministry happening through a Lutheran lens, because I still think that is valid and has something to offer the world. And I am the father of two young children, and it means something to me that when they are my age, there is a place they can go where they will hear that God loves them. And not just that God loves them, but that there was some relevance to that in their daily lives. It is in my self-interest that there is a place where my kids can raise their kids. And that people know that God is not some boogeyman out to get them. That people hear about grace and they hear about forgiveness and love and hope. Second chances. Third chances. And it is in my self-interest that it happens here. Because in addition to the simple fact that I have grown to love you guys and love being here, I also bought a house here and I don't want to move. Although, you know, I am talking about God telling Abram to go, so he always does scare me when he talks about things like that. Abram didn't just leave because God told him to. It wasn't just because God said go that Abram went. It was because of the next part. A part that Abram couldn't even believe, I'm willing to bet. A total leap of faith. Descendants. Go and I will make for you descendants. Descendants beyond count, beyond measure. What you've always wanted, Abram. You want to talk about self-interest? There's self-interest. Abram wants descendants, craves them, aches for them. And God says, go, and this is what will happen. You will lose everything that is familiar and safe, and you will gain everything beyond what you have ever possibly imagined. And it makes sense why Abram said yes. What do you need in life? What do you want? I don't care how old you are. You still want something. I don't care how long the church has been a part of your life. You still need something. What do you need from God? And what does God need from you, from Bethel, from each other? And how do we work together to make that happen? God is not done with any of you. God is not done with me. As long as there is still breath coming in and out of these lungs, God is not done. And even then, we're just talking about on earth. I'm not interested in just maintaining a church. I want it to thrive. I want it to grow. And I want it to do it in the way that God is calling it. Some of you know, we've talked about it several times, about all this insane, crazy quilt of stuff that happens here during the week. The 12-step groups and the counselors and the day center for young adults, the other churches. Beginning of October 5th, first Sunday in October, we're having a meeting that night with representatives from every single group that operates out of this place. And honestly, you're all invited. Any of you want to be there, you're invited. It's in the calendar, it's on the website. It'll be in the bulletin eventually. I think it's in the beam. Is it in the beam? I don't remember. Should be in the beam. You're invited to be there too. Because the whole point to it is to get some of this more out in the open, to talk to every stakeholder in this place about what this place is, about what comes out of here, and about the ways in which this place is making a difference in Shoreline and beyond, and the ways in which we can partner together to do that. God is calling us to do something pretty darn cool. And God wouldn't do that if we weren't up to it. Which tells me we are. God said to Abram, go. Leave that which is comfortable behind and take a risk. Because the call is real. And the call is for all of us. And we need only to honestly listen and follow it. Let us pray. Most holy, good, and loving God, we give you thanks for the ways in which you move through our lives, and we ask you to bless us this day and always. Keep us mindful of your presence and open to the call to go. Help us to find the ways to follow you faithfully. In your most gracious and loving name, we pray. Amen.